Welcome to the China Flexpat Podcast.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for having me in your podcast today. My name is Rebecca Lüppen. I was living in China between 2012 to 2019. So actually, I'm not living in China at the moment. However, we were living in different countries for 13 years in total, besides China, also in Slovakia and the Czech Republic. When we left back in 2007, I actually was a social worker, and then I changed my professional career and I found a job in the automotive industry in Volkswagen, where I worked as an HR expert and then also for a company foundation at that time. And as the employer of my husband sent him on an expert assignment, it was a local contract already at that point of time. So it would be a flexpat job after your definition, but there was no term for this actually at that time. And when we decided to change to China, I managed to land another flexpat job. I was hired by our headquarters in Beijing at that time, and then was placed to one of the big joint ventures at Volkswagen in China. Here, I still worked as an HR expert and intercultural trainer, and then I was able to develop myself into a management position within personal development. In 2019, we decided to leave China. I started a coaching qualification and I founded my own little company, She Expert, where I now offer coaching and training for women who work and live abroad.
Fantastic, Rebecca. Good morning and welcome to the China Flexpat podcast. I'm really happy to have you here on the show today because I think you are representing a quite big number of listeners in our audience, because so many people or so many spouses are being sent on expat assignments and their partners or spouses are going with them, right? But there's two things you can do. You either can do nothing and just go on a spouse visa, or you can find a job. And it looks like you have been really successful at finding flexpat jobs, meaning jobs in China and in other countries, but with local contracts. So today, I hope we can learn all about that.
Yes, hopefully. I hope I can give some insight.
Absolutely. When your family had your first expat assignment, what was your plan at that time? Did you think like, okay, we're going to be expats from now on, this is our lifestyle and we travel the world from now on? Or did you think, okay, we're going to do this for 3 years and then we'll go back to Germany? What was your plan?
Yeah, actually, so it was a natural thing when you start an expat assignment. It was meant to be 3 years, so we planned for this 3 years. And then there was the option to maybe add another 2 years, so yeah, we kept in mind that it might be possible that we will also stay 2 years longer. There was no clear plan to stay abroad for 13 years for sure. Nevertheless, there was a big interest in doing this and to try something new and do something different. So there was no clear plan that we will stay abroad for a very long time, but we really wanted to do that, and we're looking forward to this kind of adventure, let's say.
Okay, this is absolutely a huge adventure, but it's also very difficult to just find a local job in China on a local contract in a short time. Mm-hmm. Let's say your spouse is already planning to having that expat assignment abroad, and then that's when you have to start thinking about also if you want to work or not. And then you have a family as well, or you're planning a family, so you and your partner have to share all the responsibilities. So beside that, how can you find flexpat jobs?
Important thing is to be very open-minded and to really put yourself into this decision, let's say. So when I think about the first time when we went to Slovakia, I found myself in a situation that I couldn't work in my old job anymore, let's say, because I was a social worker and I didn't speak the local language at that point of time. So it was very obvious that I can't do what I did before. And so I looked what are the opportunities, let's say. So I opted for German or international companies in Slovakia and try to get in contact with them very proactively. And in the end, I was successful. But I also have to say that it is very important to be patient. Yeah, it didn't happen like in the first 2 months or something. It took us half a year until I got the offer from Volkswagen in this case. I also needed to change to Bratislava. So my husband was working in Levice and I was working in Bratislava. So we had two flats and we had a weekend relationship, let's say. So I think you have to be open-minded and also flexible and not always think that you will get the 100% solution at the first step, like the perfect job, the perfect salary, the perfect location. No, this won't happen.
You really proved to be very flexible in this way, because as you said, you had two apartments, you lived in different places, and you and your partner only saw each other on the weekends. Do you think, was it worth it? I mean, this is quite a sacrifice you do, but was it worth it as a step in towards your, let's say, further career development?
Definitely. Also later we had a child and we still kept on doing the weekend family life, let's say. But on the long term, it was really worth it. I also didn't get a really high salary in the beginning, let's say, when I started in Slovakia on a local contract. Long term, it really paid off, because, you know, if you have a CV and there is like a gap of 5 years or something, it is something completely different than if you can prove that you developed yourself, you learned something, you had an interesting job, you had your achievements or your successes, let's say. So on the long term, it was worth it.
All right. So you are saying it's important that you keep working while your spouse is on an expat assignment, because later on you might have a huge gap in your CV. And as we all know, it's hard to find or to get back into work life if you have a gap in your CV, as sad as it is, but this is the reality in many companies.
Yes. First of all, it depends on personal situation and what you really want. But if you want to continue your career, it is very important not to stop at that point of time. Right. And it can be a really worthful experience for both partners. And yeah, I would say maybe I even got the deeper insights in the local cultures and the local jobs, let's say, because I was a flexpat, because I was on local contract, because I did the same than all the other people around me.
Now, that's an interesting point. So you are really more, let's say, with the locals. Maybe you even feel more like a local than your partner, because you have the same working conditions and your payment might not be that large. So it's an interesting, I think, psychology behind that.
Yeah, it also has something to do with acceptance within the team, let's say. So when I started my job, I was not on a management position for sure. So the people knew that I'm on the same page than they are, even though I'm different, even though I'm from a different country. And it helped because they connected with me a little bit easier, let's say.
That's totally understandable. I can imagine that, especially in some, let's say, countries with very little living expenses or low general salary levels, a European expat could come across as a pretty spoiled person with these huge packages. So you just mentioned management and leadership jobs. You haven't had a leadership or management position in the beginning, but later on you had, as well as your husband. So How could you combine your, let's say, intense leadership jobs in China with your family life and responsibilities? Because as we all heard, now you have four daughters. So I assume you had a really active family life.
Yes, we had. And we still have. I'm still surprised that it's quiet at the moment here. But it is very important that my husband and me, we share our responsibilities. We said from the beginning, okay, we want a family, but we jointly split the responsibility. This is our philosophy of modern parenthood and family life. We are both the parents, we are both responsible. On the other hand, we both have the right also to develop professionally and to build up a career according to our possibilities, let's say. And we both want to contribute to the family income also. That's the mindset thing, I would say. It won't work if you have a partner who expects that you stay at home and take care for the children, let's say. The second very important thing is I think there is actually no better place and circumstance to do this kind of lifestyle than being an expat or flexpat in China. Our kids were attending a great school, an international school, and for sure this was because we got help from the employer to finance the schools, yes. And we had a full-time IE, nanny, who supported our family, which is absolutely common in Chinese families to have someone to help you with the children, right? And then I also have to say I got two children in China and I followed the Chinese maternity leave. Because I was a flexpat, because I had a local contract, it was possible for me. So I was in maternity leave one time for 3 months and the second time for 5 months because the law changed during this time in China. And it was perfect for our situation. So after this month, I went back to full-time work, let's say. And it was possible because there is a big support of women who work in China, because it's normal, because every family does so. For example, we even had rooms in Volkswagen for women who breastfeed children, where they can go and do their job, let's say, during working time. And yeah, it is a very, very normal thing in China to be a mom, to have a family, and also run a career. So it felt very natural in China to do so.
So we are talking about working as an expat spouse on a local contract, but have you ever considered like not working and, for example, just relax at home? Okay, maybe relaxing is a bad word if you have kids.
It won't work, yes.
have you ever considered or imagined how it would be not to work and just live in China for like, I don't know, 1 to 3 years and just do the sightseeing, be a mom, don't go to the office at 8 o'clock in the morning? Because I was always wondering about how that lifestyle would feel. But I don't know. I haven't experienced it. But have you thought about it?
No, not really, because this was not what I wanted. But on the other hand, I think every family who goes abroad or every expat who goes abroad with a family has to really consider before going what everyone in the family wants. If they want to have a mom who is at home and takes care, and there is a lot of issues like changing school and things, it's fine, but it has to be a very thoughtful decision. For me, it was clear that I didn't want to do that, that it wouldn't fulfill me. So we took another path for our time in China. So me personally, I didn't think about it, but I know other families who exactly live this lifestyle and they are happy with it. So it's a very individual thing and everybody has to think before going abroad. What would be right for the family at that point of time?
Maybe it also depends on the age of your kids, because you don't want to send your kid under an IE supervision if it's like too young or something. You still want to bond with the kids. So I think it's, as you said, very individual decision.
Yes, but it is very common in China to have very small children taken care by somebody else. So it's also possible. There are special IEs for babies, for example, right?
All right.
And also the Kita, what we say Kita in Germany, like daycare starts very early, some of them, like 1.5 years, is very common to have a place over there. Although in the Chinese family, it's even more common that the grandparents take care for the children, which was obviously no option for us.
Right. Well, okay, it sounds like it's a pretty flexible country when it comes to, let's say, pregnancy and parenthood and work and being a parent at the same time. So there are options, which makes it easier, I guess.
For me, for sure. And I have to say, I met a lot of wonderful local women role models in my company who are very successful experts or managers and still have a child, and it's nothing so special in China than, for example, in Europe.
Right.
When I was appointed to management level, there were more women in this ceremony than men. So our boss even joked about the quota man, right?
Wow.
Okay. Which was not so nice towards him, but still, yeah. It has advantages and it has disadvantages. Yeah, everybody has to work, for example. But on the other hand, there are also possibilities for women in China, for sure.
So, and for exactly these women, you are offering help now, right? You gathered all the experiences that you had as an expat and as a flexpat yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about the company that you're running now, and what's the mission and how you help other women in this position?
Yeah, you know, in all these years I was working abroad, I kind of realized that there is no real support or coaching offer for women who want to go abroad and actually are working, either because they are sent by their employers on an assignment or because they are accompanying their partners and still want to develop professionally and want to work. There is a lot of, or not a lot of, but there are some offers for trailing spouses. You know this term, like somebody who is accompanying someone. But there was nothing with a real focus on women who want to build a career abroad. And then when we finally left China after 7 years, we went to the Czech Republic. I started a coaching training or a coaching qualification because I wanted to fill this gap and I wanted to create an offer for exactly the women who want to go but maybe don't know how to do it exactly or who still struggle with the decision to do so. For example, are a little bit challenged on the way because they feel they are responsible for work, for school, for family life and everything. So I wanted to build a platform for women like me, let's say.
So how does that exactly work? How do you work with people? Can you guide me like through the process so I can imagine?
At the moment, I still work on a one-to-one coaching approach, let's say. And I have three packages. I try to help the women go abroad. So it's like your journey abroad. Then the ones who are already abroad, I call it live and thrive abroad. And then the ones who are going back, because this is also a big transition, going back, arriving back home and find your professional place there also. So what I usually do is we have 5 sessions and we learn about strengths, opportunities, how to deal with changes in this, let's say, mobile lifestyle, and master the challenges that might occur on the way. We try to gain clarity about individual values and purpose. So what is the thing that you really want to do and why do you want to do it? Yeah, to define a clear vision for life and for career, let's say. And I'm an HR expert. So if necessary, I also support job searches and prepare application processes and this kind of thing.
Okay, I think this sounds actually really useful because so many people, they were never in the position and they might have never thought about moving abroad and finding work. I mean, it's already hard finding work and finding your clear vision in your home country. So just imagine doing all this in a different country where you don't know anybody. And it's, so that might be really hard. So I guess some guidance is really helpful. So you mentioned you're basically covering 3 target groups, right? The people who are about to prepare to go abroad, then the people who are already living abroad, and then the returnees. So who of those 3 groups, where do you see the biggest demand?
The ones that come back. It could be that it's also because of the pandemic and a lot of people coming back at the moment, to their home countries, could be. But I also see that it is a big transition to change back to Germany, for example, or another country when you used to live abroad for many years. And the tricky thing about this transition is that you don't expect that it should be difficult because you think, I go home, I know how things are working, but on the way or on your journey abroad, you changed a lot. And the people who are still back home, they didn't change so much. So there is some kind of gap that you have to fill, and you really have to think carefully about what will be my next step. Do I want to go back to my old career? Do I want to do something different? How can I utilize all the things that I learned abroad when repatriating home, let's say?
Right, right. I think it's an opportunity to reinvent yourself, really, in using all the experiences, maybe even language skills and the network that you've built. So I think it's exciting. Let's say the biggest demand you see in people returning, let's say, back to Europe. And what's the current sentiment that you're feeling there? Are people like, okay, thank God this is over, and with all the pandemic, we have enough of China? Or do they want to go back eventually? Or do you think more and more people will go to China? Or is it, okay, now there's an exodus of China happening?
I don't think so. I think there was a natural exodus effect, let's say, you know what I mean, after this pandemic, because the people who are in China with family, there were a lot of families were splitted because family went home on home leave exactly during the Chinese New Year time last year. And then the family was, for example, in Germany or in another European country, but the husband was in China and there was a big split and they couldn't come together anymore. And through this whole process, a lot of foreign assignments just like ended after a certain period of time. And at the moment, it is super difficult to get into China. Right. You know that, with visa and restrictions and quarantine and stuff. So at the moment, I think there is a stagnation, let's say. But I'm pretty sure that after this pandemic ends, we will also see more and more people again go to China. But the international company will not send so many people on expat jobs anymore like before. So that's why I was attracted by the FlexPad term you actually invented, let's say, because I think it will be much more common for Chinese local companies, state companies, joint ventures, whatever, to look into the labor market of Europe or America or other countries and to attract people to go there on a FlexPad agreement. It will be very interesting. I can't make a real prognosis to this, but after 1 or 2 years, there will be more people going back to China also. And the other question you had among my clients or customers, there is no one who's, I don't want to go to China back ever. No. They might say something like, it was okay for this time and now I go back, but maybe in the future I would happily go back to China if there is the right job for me.
Right.
And if the circumstances are right.
Right.
But yeah, at the moment it is really, really difficult. I know 1 or 2 cases of employees who went to China a few weeks ago, and it was difficult with the visa, with the restrictions, how to get the family into the country and so on.
But of course, we're staying very optimistic, and that's why we are still continuing this podcast, because we want to prepare for better times, right? When we all be able to go back to China again. So
yeah, and let's face it, China is a very important market. Yeah. Even if the concept would change, maybe the people go to China only for 1 year or more on a forever base. I think there will not be so many cases that you send somebody for 3 years point. No, there will be the ones that you send for a very short time, like half year, 1 year, to set up some processes or something.
Interesting. Yeah?
And then there will be maybe those who are hired by a FlexPad contract.
Right.
And potentially could stay in China for the rest of their lives.
Right. Yeah, because the real traditional expats are expensive. And
But
so as you said, I think that's a good idea. Just send them for like half a year, set up some processes, brief some people about how things should be done. And that's it.
Yes, but still, or it would be great if more people in Europe, for example, speak proper Chinese, because you could go there for half year or year, do your job, you go back, you still cooperate with China from here, and then you go back for a certain time again. I think it would be very valuable for the future to really learn good Chinese. My children are still going to continue learning Chinese in school.
That's fantastic. So let's say everything will be good again and everybody can go again. So what would your key advice be for the flexpats, and especially the ladies, if mm-hmm. they want to find a flexpat job in China, as you did?
Actually, I think applies for any country you go in. You should prepare carefully, collect information about the country and also your branch. Yeah, what is about your job in that country? Is there a lack of experts or not, for example? Rather think about what you can really add to the Chinese employer. What benefit the employer would have of you than what they can give to you? Because let's face it, China didn't wait for us, you know? That was something that was very important for me. I always had to remind myself, it's not that China waited for me just to come over. I needed to be very clear what I can do for my employer. Talk to people who already lived and worked in China, I think, and maybe really someone who was on an expat assignment and somebody who was on a local contract, just to be clear about what you can expect, let's say. And if you can start to learn the language, you know, if we think about that at the moment, maybe it's not so feasible to go to China within half a year. If you really want to do that, start to learn the language. And then secondly, if you can, it will be always better to enter China with a working visa already. It's a big chaos if you enter with a family visa and then at the end you have to change it to a working visa. And sometimes people have to leave the country and get in again and this kind of things. Another advice would be to be patient. Possibly you would need some time to really land a job in China. And maybe the most important thing is think about your repatriation before your expatriation. What do I mean with it is, organize your social insurances, your reminders on your social insurances. Especially take care that you can go back to your health insurance smoothly after you repatriate. And maybe last but not least, always have a plan B. So if that one job won't work, what is the other options you have? Would you be fine with not working, for example? Think about it before you go.
Okay, all very interesting points. And yeah, I love your last advice, which is think about your repatriation before your expatriation. Imagine yourself, where will I be in 5 years? And yes, can I be integrated into my home country again? So I won't face, let's say, the reverse culture shock that we hear so often.
It will happen anyway. You can be prepared, or if you are aware of it.
Yes, yes.
It won't hit you in the face like that, let's say. And yeah, we sometimes really underestimate all this organizational things around it, like pension plan, health insurance, social insurance, and this kind of things. It's a lot easier for expats because they are still in the system, let's say. But as soon as you leave the workforce in your home country, it might have some effects when you go back. Like it will lower your pension. For 1 year, you will not be in special insurances before, if you don't get a job immediately when you come back and this kind of things.
Okay, Rebecca, this is the end already. Time is flying. I would like to draw your attention also to Rebecca's website, which is sheexpat.com. And please get informed there. Maybe you're in the midst of the repatriation process, maybe you're on the way back home, or you are planning a trip to China or an assignment in China for the post-pandemic times, right? Thank you very much for your time and see you soon. Bye-bye and zai jian.
Bye-bye, zai jian.
Thank you for being part of China Flexpat community. Visit our website at chinaflexpat.com and follow us on LinkedIn. Goodbye and 再见.